Good evening. As Wes said, my name's Bob Rudy, and I am the facilities director here at Watermark. So if you're cold, it's probably my fault. I'd like to thank you for this opportunity to speak with you and share a little bit of my story of what I went through, and divorce care was a big part of that. For me, it started in 1983. I was in college in Springfield, Missouri, and met a girl named Sherry. We dated, we fell in love. I graduated college on a Thursday, and we were married on a Saturday. Our dreams were to serve the Lord in ministry full-time for the rest of our lives. So from college, we moved to Vermont and to help start a church. It was going great until she started to miss her family. Then she had a suicide attempt in Vermont, and we worked through that, moved back home closer to her family, which was in Kansas. Throughout the years in Kansas, Kansas City, Missouri, our marriage was doing pretty well. My communication was okay. We got along. We served the Lord. Thought everything was great. And then we were in a church serving and felt God's call to go to seminary. So we decided as a couple to move to Dallas and go to Dallas Theological Seminary, where I would get my degree. We were both on board, sold our house, came down here in the summer of 1993. I worked all the time while in seminary, and my wife Sherry, she worked also. So it kind of got to the point where we were drifting apart a little bit. I thought it was work and all the hours, but then as we communicated more and more, it got to the point where, no, she was growing distant. And she would say things like, well, I kind of want to sow my oats, or, well, I kind of want to be alone, or I want to go out with my girlfriends. And we would communicate pretty well throughout this, but not great. And that was part of my responsibility. So one day on a Saturday, she came home. She said she had to go check, you know, a couple things at work. Came home and something was different. And asked, you know, Sherry, what's going on? What happened? And she said, nothing. So throughout that day, we were just kind of quiet, kind of routine. And then as we got up from dinner, Sherry said, I just want to let you know that I had an affair today and would like to talk to you about it. And I was furious and said, you know, what happened? I was one of those guys, give me all the details, what happened, what happened? And instantly, my heart changed and said, okay, what we need to do is we need to work this out and why this happened. So we sought counsel from a counselor at Dallas Theological Seminary and kind of worked through that. And we thought, you know, what was going on? What was going on? And after about 6 to 8 months, I forgave her. We worked through it, and we started going on and rebuilding our marriage. Then probably 3 months later, she came to me and said, well, I think I'm going to leave because I just don't know who I am, and I've got to find out who we are. And I said, what does that mean? She says, well, I'm not happy. You know, I don't think you're communicating as far as me. My communication on an emotional level was not good. And so we talked through that. And then we went back to our counselor. And I got there first. And, you know, she said, where's Sherry? And I said, she'll be here. So Sherry walked in the door to the counselor's office and said, I'm not staying. I'm just here to tell you I'm leaving and you better help Bob. And I've got it all worked out where Saturday I'm packing and I'm going to go. So it was my second year in seminary. It was 2 weeks before finals. And I was totally lost and didn't know what to do. Sure enough, everything came true. She did move out. I was alone. I had to figure out what am I going to do in seminary, if I'm going to stay or if I'm going to go. But I wanted to save our marriage. So a week or two went by, and we were communicating back and forth, and she just, you know, kind of hinted, well, I kind of like my boss, and I'm going to hang out with him. And I said, well, is this something sudden, or is this something that happened, you know, in the past? And she said, no, just want to hang out and just want to kind of see. So said, you know, is there anything I can do to help this out or make this not happen? She said, absolutely not. So she started to date her boss. And then probably 2 months later, she said, I'm going to file for divorce. And it just crushed me. We were going to another church in Dallas at the time, and went and told my pastor. And I remember my first day at divorce care, and I felt so hopeless and so helpless, and I sat at the back table and couldn't talk to anybody, and all I did is cry. And a nice old lady named Doris just held my hand throughout the whole thing, and she said, you don't have to stay for small group, you could go. But I stayed. Really wanted to reconcile, but as it was looking more and more bleak, my goal was just to finish well. So let her do all the attorney stuff, got an attorney. Finally, the divorce was final. So she had to make a trip back to Kansas City to get the rest of our stuff, and we split up. We split the stuff up, and then I said, hey, you know, just for my reference, was there anything that I could have done? And she said, absolutely not. And I said, well, why don't you just tell me the real reason? I know you're dating your boss and stuff like that, but tell me the real reason. And her last words to me was, I never loved you. We were married 12 years, and she said, you were a good guy. You would have made a good father, but I just never loved you, and I married you to please my parents. And that was her parting words to me. So never spoke to her since. She never asked for forgiveness for the affair, the second affair, or anything else. So here's the lessons that I've learned through my ordeal. And I'm very, very grateful to God that I had an opportunity to do this. Excuse me. The first thing I had to do is I had to forgive myself. I knew in order to go on, I had to forgive myself. I needed to, and I had to. Then I had to make the choice to forgive her. She never asked for my forgiveness. She never acknowledged a wrong. But I had to ask for, I had to forgive her. And even though she had not asked for forgiveness, this verse came to mind. It said in Matthew 6, it says, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I had to forgive her to move on with my life. It was a big stumbling block to me not to do it. Excuse me. Was it hard? Absolutely. Did I hate it? Absolutely. And there's times where I said, physically, I can't do this. I cannot forgive her for what she's done because I deserve this. I deserve that. But then as I got past that, I genuinely forgave her. Do I expect her to come back to me and ask? Absolutely not. But my life is striving because I forgave her. You know, do I forget the things? Absolutely not. but I had to move on. Thanks, Meredith. So, here was my process for forgiveness. I read scripture, but then ultimately I had to sit down and make a choice and say, okay, I'm going to forgive her. Reconciliation isn't an option, and I'm going to forgive her. So I got alone and I journaled. Here are the things that I forgive Sherry for. And I didn't call her, you know, as much as I wanted to call her bad words or bad names, I didn't do it. I wrote her name in the journal in order to write the forgiveness. And it was kind of a letter and listed the things. And then in the end, I said, okay, God, I forgive her of this and I release her of it. Total freedom after that. I started growing in Christ. I started to get new friends. I felt freer in my relationship, my relationships with my friends. And I was no longer burdened by that shame or wearing that big invisible D on my chest for divorced. If I didn't forgive, I didn't know where I would be. But the thing that I would like to communicate to you guys is that I made the choice to forgive and started to walk again. I couldn't let shame rule me. I forgave. It takes one to forgive. It takes two to reconcile. And my story could be some of your stories, or could be similar. And let me just leave you with a couple things. If you haven't forgiven already, you need to forgive. You need to go on, and you need to look forward. Don't let that burden weigh you down, and don't let it stop you. This is one of the most difficult times that you're going to have in your life. But I am standing up here because I've forgiven somebody who's wronged me, who's cheated on me, who's lied to me for some 12 years of my life. And was it wasted? I could look you right in the eye and say no. Was it hurtful? Absolutely. But then the strength that came from forgiveness was lasting. So I just want to pray for us now and just say, if you haven't forgiven, just start the process. And you're going to be amazed how faithful God is. Let me pray for us. Our God and our Father, we just want to thank you so much for loving us for who we are. And Lord, I'm grateful that you forgave us for so many things. And Lord, I just pray that we could start forgiving people. We could forgive our spouses. And Lord, there are so many hurts in here. And I just pray that today would be the first day that we could start to forgive. I thank you so much for loving us and comforting us for who we are. For we ask this all in your name. Amen.